This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I will introduce Sister Sahra Sultan. So mashallah, she is a therapist based in Houston. She's also an instructor with Yaqeen Institute. You guys probably have seen her amazing content. She also gets pulled into Al Maghrib and Discover You a lot as well. I don't think there's enough of her to go around. And alhamdulillah, she's also one of the instructors that was on her program of Mu'mina. She's been quite active, alhamdulillah, on many fronts. So make glad that Allah strengthens her. Sometimes when you see people in these spaces, and you're like, okay, yeah, you know, she's presenting. She's got, obviously, just like you guys as a mom, so many other identities and hats that she wears. So it's so important to keep them in our du'as. And alhamdulillah, you can follow her on social media for a lot of inspiration that she shares and content that's, you know, helpful in grounding ourselves in deen, alhamdulillah, and using, you know, modalities and therapeutic principles to strengthen ourselves. So with that, Sahra, I'll hand it over to you. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair for having me here today, and to all of you for being here, mashallah. It's so wonderful to see so many moms here. I don't know, maybe there might be some dads as well, but alhamdulillah, it's wonderful that you all took the time out to be here and to join us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you. And jazakallah khair, Razia, for the encouragement to make du'a for me. That's very, very much appreciated. So yeah, keep the du'a coming, inshallah. So I'm really excited, like I said, to talk about this topic because it's not something that's often discussed, but it's something that so many of us struggle with and can feel very, very alone in struggling with it. And so the first thing that I want to acknowledge is the fact that motherhood is incredibly hard. A lot of times when people talk about becoming a new mother, they talk about the beauty of welcoming a child into the world. And of course, there is beauty, there are blessings, there's barakah in welcoming children into the world, alhamdulillah, and that blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. But a lot of times people neglect to discuss the struggles that are inherent in the role of motherhood and the fact that motherhood is incredibly difficult. I remember when I was going to have my first child, I remember after I had him, the first couple of months were very, very rough. The newborn stage was always a very rough stage for me personally. And I remember talking to my mom and asking her, why didn't you tell me, like, why didn't you give me a heads up about how hard this would be? And she said, nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to scare a new mom. But instead, what ends up happening when we don't talk about it is that we end up feeling alone and we feel like something's wrong with us. And so we don't share the struggles because we feel like we're the only ones struggling. And that's very lonely. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ignore this. He actually talks about the hardships that mothers endure. He talks about it in the Quran, where he says that we have commanded people to honor their parents. Their mothers bore them in hardship and delivered them in hardship, right? So there's this acknowledgement and validation that motherhood is hard. It is incredibly hard. And so, you know, these children who are blessings also have a way of bringing up emotions that we may never have previously struggled with, or emotions that we used to struggle with, but we thought we had overcome. And I know that was like that for me. I was always, as a young child, I was very stubborn, very emotional, and all of these things. But then I had worked on myself for a long stretch of time, and my patience had increased, all of these, you know, different attributes had increased and gotten better and everything. And then I had kids, and then suddenly a lot of those struggles started to come back up, and it was very surprising. And so as mothers, we've all had those moments of anger. We've all had those moments where we didn't recognize ourselves. If you're fortunate, you're able to recognize that this anger is not a true representation of who you are as a person or as a mother. And if you're fortunate, you have a spouse who realizes that as well and offers support instead of censure or criticism. But for many mothers, that's not the case. And this anger and this rage actually leads to very intense thoughts like, is there something wrong with me? How can I treat my helpless child this way? I'm damaging my child beyond repair. I can't seem to control myself. I'm not a good enough mother. I'm the villain in this situation. All of these thoughts can start to come up. So how do we understand and address this anger, and how do we learn to manage it? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about understanding the anger and then practical ways to be able to start to create a change. One thing I want to preface this with and give you guys a disclaimer is even when you're working on it, you will not be perfect. You will come away with tools today, inshallah, and you can start to implement them right away, but it's not going to work every single time, especially in the beginning, because you're trying to train yourself in a different way. And it's really important to be okay with that, to realize that I'm going to slip up sometimes, but I can always come back around and repair it, right? So that's a very important acknowledgement before we even delve in, okay? So the first thing is to understand anger, to understand where this rage is coming from. Anger is like any other emotion. It's a signal within our body that tells us what is happening, that there is something important happening around us. Anger is an excess emotion, but it's a natural part of life. And this is why the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ talked about it so frequently. And he described it as anger is a burning coal. It burns in the heart. And for those of you who've had this struggle, that's such an accurate description, right? Like the heat that you feel in your body when you're feeling angry, and the way it comes up, it feels like a burning coal. And so realize that even though these feelings of anger and frustration often feel uncontrollable, we have the opportunity to either allow ourselves to lose control or to regain control. And so even though anger is a human emotion, how we act when we're feeling angry is what we need to address. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the attribute of addressing and managing our anger, where he describes people in a praiseworthy way, and he describes them as those who spend in his cause in prosperity and in adversity, in good times and bad times, those who repress their anger, and those who pardon men, who pardon others, forgive others. Verily, Allah loves the good doers. So one of the descriptions of the good doers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here are not those who don't feel anger, but those who don't react in anger. So feeling anger is okay. That's normal, right? But what we want to take control of is how to not react in anger. And like Razia said, which is a very powerful point, if reacting out of anger was something out of our control, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have attached such wonderful, wonderful praise to this quality. If it was something we couldn't work on, then it wouldn't be something rewardable or so praiseworthy, right? So it is absolutely something that we can transform, and we are capable of change. So we're going to go through a step-by-step process to talk about this. Step one in managing anger, creating any change, is always intention. Intention is always the first step toward any positive change, any type of transformation. And this cannot be a change that you're only doing for your kids. This, am I muted? Can everybody hear me? Okay, it sounds like it's okay. When you're making an intention, it's not only for your kids. It's not only because your husband told you need to work on this, right? Like I'm sure a lot of you have had that experience, or, you know, your spouse might not be that understanding, right? And so it can't be because somebody else is telling you to change. It can't be just because of your kids. This has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because then that means it's for you. It's for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all goodness. He's the one source of stability in our lives. Because when it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's for you, and it's a source of goodness for you no matter what's going on around you. So having that intention is very powerful. There's a hadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "There is nothing swallowed with greater reward from Allah than a servant who swallows his rage, seeking thereby the face of Allah." There's nothing rewarded more than feeling the anger that you feel and not reacting in it, and doing that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ also said, whoever restrains his or her tongue, Allah will cover his or her faults. Whoever controls their anger, Allah will protect them from his punishment. And whoever seeks forgiveness to Allah, then Allah will accept that forgiveness, that seeking of forgiveness. And so we see the, like the rewards that are attached to this. And when we're making our intention that, okay, I'm not going to react in anger because this is a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covering my faults. This is a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting me from his punishment. Right. And asking yourself from now, right, in this moment, as you're making a positive intention, what version of myself do I want to be in the next moments with my children? What type of mother do I want to be in this interaction with my child? How do I want to look back on this moment with my child when they're in bed? And we all, as moms, have those moments where, you know, your child is asleep and you look at them. Oh, they're such perfect angels when they're asleep. They look so peaceful and beautiful. Oh, I feel so badly that I yelled at them during the day and everything. And you have those guilt moments that happen at night, right? And so in those moments, instead wanting to ask, okay, how do I want to look back on this moment? And then what do I want my child to learn from this situation? And when you have that, when you have the answers to those questions, transform them into du'a. Transform them into a du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I want to be able to look at my child sleeping at night and think, you know, we had a good day. I was really proud of myself in the way that I dealt with that situation. I made my child feel safe and secure. I dealt with my frustration in a way that felt really powerful to me. I felt empowered because I was able to handle it differently. That when there was a power play between me and my child, I didn't fall into it, right? These are all the things, ya Allah, please make them a reality. So you know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, is as-salam. He's the source of safety. And then asking as-salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make you a source of safety to your child, right? So transform these questions into du'a. And then with the intention, reminding yourself that in the akhirah, in the hereafter, you will be rewarded for every single thing that you're doing. A lot of times being a mother feels very thankless. You don't feel appreciated. And so, you know, realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates and acknowledges everything, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur. He's the most appreciative. He sees and appreciates everything that you're doing, even if nobody else does. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the most beloved of the people to Allah are the most beneficial for the people. The most beloved actions to Allah are to cause happiness to reach a Muslim, to relieve him of a hardship, to settle a debt for a Muslim, or to repel hunger from him. And then he says in this hadith that for me to walk with someone in order to assist him is more beloved to me than to make i'tikaf in this masjid in Medina, for an entire month. That the Prophet Muhammad is saying it's more beloved to him to help someone then to stay in his masjid and Nabawi. And we know that prayer in that masjid is multiplied significantly. To stay in that masjid in constant worship for an entire month. And so all of the things that you do for your child are included under this umbrella to cause them happiness, to repel hunger from them, right? Where you're feeding them and taking care of them, to relieve any type of hardship. All of these things to help your children is under this, and probably even more because they're your children. And so having that intention for the sake of the akhirah, for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be very powerful. So that's intention, and that's step number one. Step number two is acceptance. Acceptance of what? Accept that your emotions are transient. Your emotions do not last forever. They go up and down. Remember that our feelings move through us. So if you're experiencing a really intense emotion right now, if you're experiencing intense anger right at this moment, it doesn't mean that you're going to feel this way forever. 1 year from now, if, you know, I think about, you know, 1 year for that 1 year ago, whatever was frustrating me at that point, whatever was making me anxious at that point, whatever was difficult at that point, I don't remember what it was. And you guys probably don't either, unless it was a major incident. 1 month, 1 week, even a lot of times 1 day, 1 hour, 5 minutes ago, you will not feel what you're feeling with the same intensity. And when you can acknowledge that, you can pause for a moment and allow it to pass. and realize that when you pause for a moment, that next moment, you won't feel that anger with the same intensity. Another thing to accept is that the anger you feel is often rooted in love for your child. And so that might sound a little bit strange, right? But as parents, we usually love our children more than we love ourselves. I remember my father always told me that no one wants better for you than for themselves, except your parents, right? Like there's nobody in your life who wants better for you than your parents do, right? And so that's the same with you and your children. And it's one of the reasons why it's so easy to become angry, is because we have high hopes for our kids. We want the best for them. And when they're not meeting our expectations, we get frustrated, we get disappointed, we question our parenting skills. And so they bring up all of these difficult emotions for us as parents. But a lot of times that anger is actually rooted in love for our children, because we're afraid for them. We want what's best for them, and they're not listening to what's best for them, right? All of these things, there's a love for our children in that, subhanAllah. And when you can accept that and acknowledge that, then suddenly you can think about it a little bit differently, to think, okay, but is my anger expressing the love that I feel? Is there a different way that I can express this love that's going to make them feel more loved, right? You can kind of question it a little bit more. The next thing to accept is that our brains are malleable, that they change. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And so that change is possible. So even if you've become stuck in this pattern of anger with your child, realize that it's changeable. Our brains are changeable. Our lives are changeable. And so acknowledging and accepting that is a really important step. And then finally, to accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you to have this child, has chosen you as the mother of this child. He is telling you that you are the most capable person for this job, that you are strong enough to deal with the ups and downs, because he never burdens us with more than we can handle, even when it feels like it's too much to handle. To accept that you might not be the perfect mom, but you're the mom who's most worthy to care for and raise your child, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hakim, in his infinite wisdom, decreed that you were the perfect mom for this child. And he's not going to leave you without the skills that you need to handle this journey. And you're all here right now because you're reaching out to take some of these skills, right? So that acceptance piece is really, really important, to get yourself, your heart and your soul and your mind in the right space. And I see a lot of you sharing that you're crying as you're hearing this, because you probably have not thought about it in this way. You've probably only thought about the ways that you're failing your children because you feel like you can't handle yourself emotionally. But this side of you is not coming out with anybody else, right? It's only coming out with the people you love the most. So it only makes sense that it's coming from a place of love. We just need to figure out ways to handle it and express it in ways that we're going to feel better about, inshallah. Right? So those are the first two steps, right? Intention and acceptance. Step three is creating awareness and understanding. We cannot change the state that we're in unless we're aware of why it's a challenge and what is happening for us. And so this is a very important step for us to, you know, to keep in mind. And so the first step is to understand, to find the root of the emotion. It was only when I had my own children, you know, that I realized how intense motherhood could be. And I was so amazed at how much these little kids could bring up. And I realized that children have a really amazing way of teaching us about ourselves. And I wondered, you know, is this one of the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us parenthood, is for us to grow, for us to learn more about ourselves, for us to heal the parts of ourselves that we haven't healed. And that's what often comes up with our kids, is they bring up wounds that we haven't healed ourselves. And so we have to work on them and heal them in order to be able to be present for our kids in the way that we want to, right? So with anger, it's really important to understand what anger is. Anger is a secondary emotion, not a primary emotion. And so what do I mean by this? If you picture an iceberg, you know, you see the pointy part on top of the water, right? And underneath the water is actually the mass of the iceberg, like the big, heavy duty, like about 90% of the iceberg is underneath the water, and only about 10% is on top. So that 10% is anger. It's what you see on the surface. It's what shows up when you're in a power struggle with your child. They don't want to go to bed, or they you know, say that the food that you cooked is yucky and they don't want to eat it, or whatever it is that, you know, that happens. They're not doing their homework and they're giving you a really rough time, or they're having a tantrum. What comes up for you is you have the iceberg, you see the top of the iceberg, which is the angry reaction that you have. But what we don't realize is that underneath our anger are deeper emotions that trigger the rage. Feelings that we might be uncomfortable showing. So underneath the iceberg are all of those wounds that we were talking about, all of those feelings that you're struggling with. When your child, you know, says that the food that you cooked was yucky and they don't want to eat it, what comes up for you? You feel unappreciated, right? Do you feel inadequate? Right? If your child answers you back with a tone that bothers you, do you feel disrespected? Do you feel insecure in your ability to handle the situation? So these feelings of insecurity and inadequacy are coming up, right? Do you feel invisible? Do you feel rejected? Do you feel, when your child is tantruming in the middle of a grocery store, do you feel humiliated, right? So all of these feelings are underneath the surface, and they're intense feelings. And it's hard to deal with those feelings. Anger is much easier to deal with. Anger makes so much sense to come up, and you feel powerful in that moment, right? Where you start to rage and suddenly your child like is at attention. Like they, you know, like that's it. They're in check, their behavior has changed and all of that. And it sends a signal to your brain that this worked. The next time this happens, what works is anger. What works is yelling and raging at my child, because that's what was effective. And it creates this pattern and this cycle, right? So it's really important to understand what's happening underneath the surface so that you can address it. Because when we're having a sense of self-doubt, and when we're looking down on ourselves and we're being very self-critical, it can actually really amplify our struggles with our kids. If we're constantly focusing on the negatives within ourselves, then how can we focus on the positives within anyone else? So in this step of awareness, we have to be able to identify our triggers. So what are triggers? Triggers are anything that brings up a strong or uncomfortable emotion. It provides a signal that something needs to be addressed. And triggers vary from person to person because we all struggle with different things. What bothers me when my child does it is not going to be the same thing that bothers you when your child does it, right? And so what happens when a person is triggered? Some people get angry. Others might feel anxious, numb. Like the response varies, as does the intensity of the response. So you probably have a wide range of triggers, but your response to different triggers are going to be different, right? So we're focusing on the anger triggers, the things that are triggering your anger response. Where do these triggers come from? They come from past experiences in childhood, traumatic experiences, previous relationships. And that's why everybody's sensitivities are unique and different, because nobody has the same past. We all have our own baggage, right? And it's all unique. So how can we take the steps to identify our triggers? Choose to pay attention to any physical, emotional, or mental shifts that you notice throughout the day during particular conversations or with certain people or with certain incidents with your child, pay attention to any shift that you notice, right? Any moment that you notice that okay, your body is overheating, your heart is pounding more, that you suddenly feel like some of that anger coming up. When you feel your, when you notice your thoughts shift toward a really negative way, like, oh, here we are, it's another horrible day. Like, how are we going to get through this? And notice the shift. Okay. These shifts begin in our body. And so if we can pick up on the body signals that manifest before we take action, before we start to yell, before we have an angry reaction, that's very powerful. It takes a while to be able to identify them. But one of the ways that you can do that is you can sit with yourself quietly in, you know, when you're not going to be disturbed, and bring up an incident that really makes you angry. Like, really, like, this is when my anger starts to spike. Sit and picture that incident and notice what happens in your body. Do a body scan from your head all the way down to your toes and notice any physical sensations, any tension, any temperature changes, any wiggles, any whatever it is, right? Notice any physical sensations, and those are going to be your sign that, like, okay, these are some of the body signals that happen before I yell. And then if you can be aware of them, you'll be able to stop yourself before the yelling starts, right? And so understanding that the unrest, even if it's uncomfortable, it's actually a blessing, because it gives you the ability to recognize that you have an opportunity to decide what happens next. So when you are thinking about this, right, think back to the different incidents where you have gotten really angry with your child, right? Just think back to the past couple of weeks, if you can remember that far, or pay attention in the next week or so to when you notice that. And ask yourself, okay, when do I tend to yell or react in anger? What's the theme? Right? Is it when I feel disrespected? Is it when I'm around other people, so I'm worried about what they're thinking about me or the way that I parent my child? Is it when you have a deadline that you're working toward, or you have to be somewhere on time? And so when you're stressed for time, that's when you get really, you know, like you notice yourself getting tight and getting angry. Is it when you haven't gotten enough sleep, when you haven't had a chance to eat, when the kids are asking you 1,000 questions and it's not even 9 a.m., right? When you start to think to yourself you can't handle things because the kids keep fighting with each other or just not listening, right? So asking yourself these questions to identify the moments when you tend to struggle, right? And so that is, and when you're considering this, right? When you're thinking about the different situations that led to an angry reaction, think about why it led to such a strong reaction. Think about and search for the anger iceberg, right? And just Google it and you're going to find different diagrams, and look through the different emotions that are underneath the surface and see which ones resonate with you. As you think about the different struggles that you've gone through with your kids over the past couple of weeks, think about, how did I feel in that situation? Was it because I was feeling ignored? Was it because I was feeling ashamed? Was it because I was feeling incapable? Was it because I was feeling disrespected? What was it? And everything. And a lot of times these triggers are rooted in these past experiences and trauma. So it can be hard to identify why. And it's okay if it doesn't make sense, because they're rooted in the past. It might not make sense for you right now because it's a past event that's activating that. So it's okay if it doesn't make sense. And just even if you can't identify a trigger right away, even if you can't identify what emotion was underneath the surface, if you can't identify the why and everything, it's okay. These feelings are complicated, and it's not a failure if it requires multiple times to be able to identify and spot the trigger and to create that awareness. Your goal is not to like leave here and think, okay, now I understand. Here are all my triggers, and here are why I have these triggers, and here's like the past experiences that led to these triggers. That's not your goal right now. Your goal is to start building awareness. Your goal is to set an intention that I'm going to pay attention a little bit more. And little by little, you're going to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And you're also going to learn more and more about your triggers and yourself and your own healing as your kids go through different stages, different triggers come up, right? So it's an ongoing growth cycle. So don't feel discouraged if it's not all clicking into place right away, because it's not supposed to, right? All right. So now step four is how, now that we have made our intention, accepted certain facts that we need to accept, and then talked about some of the steps to start building awareness so that we can understand what needs to change. Step four is, how do we break the cycle? And this is where we're going to be talking about a lot of the practical techniques to be able to break that cycle that has become a pattern where we get angry with our kids and we feel guilty about it and all of these different things, right? So that's our goal. We're going to be talking about the practical pieces. So one of the things also, once you've identified some of your triggers, I would really encourage you to write out some of the different things that you notice. So you might write out like, okay, here was the situation and here's how I reacted and here's why I think I reacted that way, right? And if you'd like, write out, here's how I would like to try to react next time. And don't write, I would like to be patient, right? Like, it has to be something actually concrete that you can achieve, you know? So, but if you can start to create a journal with, you know, to build an understanding of the patterns, it's going to be very, very helpful. It's going to be very helpful. It's much better than just trying to keep it in your head. So once you've identified your triggers, those moments when you tend to explode with anger, you tend to yell, then you're better able to handle those moments, right? And so before these trigger points hit, mentally prepare yourself, right? So if you know homework time or dinner time is a battle, or the transition from when they're watching something or playing video games to having to shut off the video games and everything, if you know that there are certain moments that are a battle, right, then one of the techniques that I have found personally helpful is to make dua with some deep breathing beforehand, because it provides a physical shift and a spiritual shift. So I remember when my kids were much younger, when I used to go and pick them up from school on the way to school in the car, that's what I would do. I would do some deep breathing and I would make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in the evening and the afternoon, to make it easy for me to handle any anger that comes up, to help me increase my patience. And then I would have kind of a mental plan of like, okay, how am I going to deal with this situation when it comes up, or this situation when it comes up? And it really helped. It really helped. Never underestimate the power of dua. Never underestimate the power of dua. Number one, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of everything and He accepts our dua in different forms and everything. And number two, because when you're doing that, you are setting an intention and you are setting the stage for who you want to be. So don't underestimate it. It's incredibly powerful. The reason I used to do that is because my kids had and some of your kids might have this too, where they're like doing well in school and they're like, they keep it together. And then they come home and it's just like a meltdown. They can't handle it anymore. They just like meltdown. And it's difficult for parents to deal with that, you know? So again, when you know the different points that are going to be difficult, then try to make dua beforehand. Okay. When you also know, okay, this is my trigger. So we talked about triggers and identifying why that's a trigger, right? Like, what's the emotion that comes up? You know, so we said, you know, feeling unappreciated, feeling disrespected, feeling ignored, feeling overstimulated, right? Because of too much noise, all these different things, right? Based on the emotion that you're struggling with, figure out what you need. What is the underlying need? What would help you to address this emotion and feel better? What do you need? Like, find a way to get this need addressed. So by figuring out, is there a way that I can fulfill this need myself? Is there somebody I need to reach out to in order to help with this, right? Like, if I need to feel appreciated, is that something that I can work on for myself, where I remind myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur and he's appreciating everything I do, even if it's not being seen by the people around me. If you're feeling really overstimulated because of all the noise around you, is there a way to go and get, even if you need to turn on the TV for your child to watch a show for a few minutes so that you can have some peace and quiet in your room? You know, giving yourself what you need is giving something to your kids too. You know, a lot of times we hold ourselves to certain really, really stringent standards and protocol and things like that because we think that's what an ideal mother should do. But is it helping or harming, right? So asking yourself, how can I fulfill this need in a way that's within my control? Sometimes you won't be able to, right? Not at that exact moment, but if you can, then definitely trying to do that, even if it's not in line with the expectation that you have of what a typical good mom does, right? It's really important to realize that. The other thing that is really important in breaking a cycle when it comes to this anger cycle that we tend to fall into is to figure out, what meaning am I attaching to this situation? Because what happens is my child refused to eat the dinner I made, even though I'm exhausted and I worked hard on it, no one appreciates me. That's the meaning that's attached to the situation. My child doesn't listen. Why can other people get their kids to obey and listen and I can't? I'm failing as a mother. That's the meaning. My child talks back to me. They're disrespectful. That's a meaning that's attached to it, right? So be aware of what you're saying to yourself. These thought processes, this tells you what meaning you're attaching to the situation. And that is likely the reason why you're getting angry, right? It's not always the situation itself. It is much more often the meaning that we are attaching to the situation, how we're interpreting the situation. So separating the meaning that you've attached to it and considering a different meaning is going to be really helpful, right? So reminding yourself, and this is something I tell my kids all the time if they're having like any type of negative thought, anxious thought, and things like that, is just because you think something doesn't make it true. Just because you think it does not make it true, right? So instead of thinking to yourself, oh, you know, my child refused to eat dinner, and so, you know, like no one appreciates me, nobody likes my cooking and everything. Instead, just the fact is that my child didn't want to eat dinner. They might not be hungry. They might be coming down with a stomach bug. They might struggle with eating. Like this is the routine, right? Where they always have trouble eating. That's their thing. It doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't mean anything about your cooking. It doesn't mean anything about you as a mother. It's just the fact that your child does not want to eat dinner, right? It's frustrating, but it's less frustrating if you don't attach that meaning to it, right? Your child is, you know, you put out an outfit for your child to wear and they don't want to wear it. And so they, you know, they talk back to you and they're, you know, in your mind, you're like, they're really being disrespectful. That back talk is something I would never have done to my parents. I don't know, like they're, you know, they're disrespecting me, right? And so it could be instead reinterpreting the meaning behind that to be, okay, well, my child is trying to gain control of the situation. They're trying to be more independent. They want more choice in their life. It doesn't mean that they're not viewing you as somebody worthy of respect, right? So being careful to, you know, to think about what meaning are you attaching to the situation, and can you just look at it objectively as, here are the facts that my child does not want to wear the outfit that I put out for them, period. Not like, oh, and they're disobedient, they're this and that, and all the, it just results in a really difficult spiral. Another thing that's really powerful, and I mentioned it briefly before, is to create a pause. And I think this is actually one of the hardest ones to do, because sometimes it feels like there's no space, you know, to be able to create a pause. Like the reaction comes so quickly, right? And so if at first it's going to be really difficult to do that, but the more it's practiced, the more your brain will register that as a skill and as a path to take, right? That, okay, before I used to immediately react in anger, but now I'm creating a pause, and that's a new thing that I'm doing, right? So creating a pause in between the feeling and the action is the space where you can regain control of your body and your thoughts and decide on what you're going to do in that moment. And what's really powerful about this is it takes 90 seconds for an emotion to fully leave your system. And so if you can give yourself 90 seconds, truthfully, even 10 seconds makes a huge difference, but a full 90 seconds is really transformative, then it allows that really difficult and intense emotion to go through your system. So that pause is very powerful emotionally. Another thing, and this is why I'm so happy that we're talking about this topic and to see so many moms here, mashallah, is because one of the techniques that's most helpful I found to deal with this anger is to talk to other moms about it. It really is. I think that having a friend that you trust or a group of friends that you trust where you can text them and be like, oh, I just had one of those days. Like there was a lot of yelling in the house. I feel so badly. This is what was happening. And you talk it out with that person. It is really, really helpful. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the believers are like bricks of a building, each part of strengthening the other. Our deen leaves space for us to be social human beings. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created us with being social and with wanting a sense of acceptance and belonging, right? And because it leads to a sense of validation. I'm not alone. It was when I started talking to my friends about like the struggle that it made all the difference, because then you don't feel alone in it anymore, right? It's then suddenly, so what happens when you feel alone in the struggle that you feel with your child? Is it brings about a really intense feeling of shame. And the antidote to shame, right? And so, well, shame, what does it end up leading to? Is the harder that we are on ourselves, the harder we tend to be on others. And it leads to more anger toward our children because we're more angry toward ourselves. But when you receive empathy, then you're able to give empathy, right? This is the difference between thinking, why can't my child just listen? Why do they have to push my buttons? Versus, imagine what it must be like to be a little kid, you know, with somebody dictating what you can and can't do, when you can and cannot eat and sleep, when, you know, that sitting 8 hours a day at school, and, you know, no wonder they're pushing back, right? That's empathy. And you can only give empathy if you're in that mental space and you've received empathy, right? And so you can't do this if you're constantly telling yourself that you're not good enough and there's something wrong with you. And so shame, that feeling of shame, it grows in silence. It grows in self-judgment. And so the way, the antidote to that is empathy. And you get that through other people and sharing your story with other people and being able to share your feelings and your struggles with other people, right? So asking yourself, who are the people in your life who can offer you the gift of empathy, the people that you can text and vent to, you know, talk about the struggle that you had with your child, and they're going to offer a listening ear. So I saw some questions coming up about, like, you know, is this backbiting, right? Is this something where, you know, we should just keep this to ourselves and things like that? Again, intention. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the deen is nasiha, good advice. Our faith is good advice, right? How can we get the benefit of good advice if we don't reach out and share the struggle? We can't, right? We can't. And one of the six rights of a Muslim upon another is that when they ask for advice, when they ask for their counsel, then you give it to them. It shows the importance of a supportive social network during difficult moments. You know, that's not to say that, you know, you should be texting your friend like, my kid is such a brat and like, I can't stand them and things like that. No, it's more along the lines of like, you know, I really had a hard time when my kid said this to me today, or homework was a nightmare and I just don't know how I'm going to handle it again tomorrow, right? And so one of the most difficult moments for a mother is when she doesn't feel like she's her best self with her child. And so it's important to be able to talk about that with somebody else, get their insight, get their input, right? And one of the worries people have is, well, what are they going to think of me? If I tell them that I yelled at my kid and I'm struggling with this, or this is hard and everything, what are they going to think of me? So number one is be careful who you reach out to, right? Be careful. Not everybody is worthy of sharing that part of yourself. Not like you should be cautious about that. But when you have a good friend, and I think the vast majority of people would be understanding, and I would encourage you to reach out to fellow moms, right? Because your friends who are not, especially like if you're, you know, reaching out to some teenagers might be actually really insightful because they've been there at a closer time and everything, but reach out to your fellow moms, because I think that, or somebody who is, just wise and kind, right? And realize that there's a hadith of Prophet ﷺ that said that a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. And one of the characteristics that he says about that is he does not look down upon him, nor does he humiliate him. So realize that if you found a good friend, right, like it is their responsibility to not look down on you when you're sharing a struggle. And even more, you're giving them permission to share their struggle as well. And that's very powerful, because what I have found is when I open up to a mom friend, then she comes back with, oh yeah, it was a really hard evening for us too. You know, like we had a really rough time after school and this is what happened. And so you don't feel alone anymore, right? And again, your intention in opening up to someone is to manage this difficulty and to get support. And that's a really positive step toward change, inshallah. So that's very powerful as well. You know, and I saw somebody say, you know, talk to a mom with kids in the same age group. I would say yes. And then also sometimes for a routine thing, yes. But sometimes it's also nice to talk to somebody who has kids who have outgrown that stage, because I have, like, I know for me personally, when my kids were really young, there were a lot of difficulties with regards to that. Now that they're a little bit older and communication is smoother, it has gotten better. So sometimes it's nice to talk to somebody who's been through that stage and can tell you it doesn't last forever, right? And yeah, it was really, really hard when I was in it. And I remember those days and how difficult it was and things like that. So, you know, so it's good to have a balance there. All right. And so the other aspect, you know, when we're talking about breaking the cycle, is self-care. Anger is often a signal that you're getting too much or too little of something, right? So you might be getting too little sleep. You might be getting too much overstimulation, too much noise, too little appreciation. Your mental load might be too much, too heavy, right? So self-care is not about like, okay, you know, like chocolate and bubble baths and things like that. Self-care is about creating a life that you don't need to run away from. It involves setting the stage for the life that you want to lead yourself. It's not about escaping from the life that you're leading because you dread things and everything. It's about the daily choices that you make that are going to make your life better and happier, and that are going to bring about physical and spiritual and interpersonal health, right? So it's about prioritizing the things that are going to lead you to a life that you can look forward to on most days, right? On most days, right? And so thinking about, what are the things that I need more of? What are the things that I'm lacking, right? What are the things that I'm sacrificing that I maybe shouldn't be sacrificing? You know, so if, you know, for example, you are, you know, like a clutter is really difficult for you. And that's what kind of leads to the angry outburst when you see like a huge mess around you, then it's a good thing to prioritize purging a lot of what's in your home so that that is not going to be an anger trigger anymore, right? If, you know, so any of these types of things, when you're trying to identify, You know, like if you're really stressed about like, oh, what am I going to make for my family to eat today? Then meal prepping is probably going to be a form of self-care, right? Because so that's self-care is not just about like, you know, the treats. It's about making your life easier so it doesn't feel as overwhelming, right? If for you, you know that like, okay, my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I don't have time to connect with Allah, that's when I notice that I'm not at my best, right? So making sure that you have that chance, that opportunity to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in certain ways, right? And the Prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, when he was feeling distressed, he says, we know that your heart is distressed at what they say, but celebrate the praises of your Lord and be of those who prostrate themselves in adoration. So when the Prophet ﷺ is feeling distressed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prescribing action to alleviate that distress. And so action, what action do I need to take to make my life more manageable? Right? And so you know, thinking about all of the little things that are taking away from it and being able to manage that, inshallah. And so along with that, I wanted to, before we conclude, to have Razia come back on, inshallah, because she wanted to discuss the Mu'mina parenting course. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a good point here because, you know, one of the things in terms of taking action and having a form of self-care is to be able to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the center of our conversation and building up our skills and being able to figure out what we need in order to feel like the most effective parents that, you know, that we can be, inshallah. And I think this course does a really beautiful job with that.
Jazakallah khair, Sarah. And I love that point of taking action. I was also reading some of the messages, mashallah, comments as you're speaking, and so many sharing that, alhamdulillah, they feel so empowered by just knowing there's like this conversation happening. There's others who struggle with this. And I think one of the big points that we're very aware of, and when we created this program as well, is the isolation that many mothers feel in this journey. And unfortunately, you know, shaitan uses and comes at us in our most vulnerable moments. And sometimes that anger and the frustration that's built up and, you know, all of those beautiful points that Sarah's talking about, really, you know, going underneath that iceberg, that's where shaitan comes hardest. And so alhamdulillah, this program, Mu'mina, is really the art of raising Muslims, right? Keeping focus on, alhamdulillah, approaching our parenting journey from the lens of keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala centered, from the framework of our deen. And so alhamdulillah, these are amazing instructors that we have at Mu'mina who were part of creating this valuable content. So I'm going to take you through, inshallah, just a quick overview. The link is there. So this is a program that alhamdulillah, we did last year. Hundreds of parents came through, and it's really Islam-led parenting without taking you out of the equation. This is really parent-focused, you know, attending to your needs. And so what are you getting in this program? We have some core modules. You guys heard from Sheikh Yahya yesterday, and really prophetic parenting. There's so much hikmah and wisdom in how the Prophet ﷺ approached parenting, his emotional intelligence. There's just so many components. And so Sheikh Yahya speaks about that in his module. We have Ustada Hussein, who you guys heard from this week, how to find calm and serenity through emotional intelligence. Really a beautiful topic, again, through the Islamic framework. And then module 3, we have Dr. Usman Umarji, and he speaks to how to build character, instill prophetic values, and strengthen Islamic identity. This is a really valuable module. A lot of you who were here on Monday, you were saying, you know, when it comes to teens, I kind of feel lost. I don't know how to help my teens. Islamic identity and the way he approaches it, especially with value-based parenting, very powerful knowledge. Again, I feel like, you know, this course is going to give you the tools to go deeper than a lot of just the fluff we kind of sometimes hear on the top when it comes to parenting topics. This is really, you know, planting and rooting yourself, inshallah, in ways and approaches that go deeper. And then we have Sister Sarah, and mashallah, her module is about how to connect, communicate, and win with your child's heart. And so you guys have been benefiting from her today. Alhamdulillah, you see what she's about. She doesn't just come from a place of where she's teaching the theory. You know, she's living the experience. And so alhamdulillah, I feel like that really informs her work as well. So really powerful module on, you know, breaking down with that communication, really how to build meaningful connection with your children as well. We have Sister Manahil, and she speaks to how to help your children navigate the digital world. Many of you expressed this week, you know, you're reevaluating your relationship with your cell phones, and you know, it really does start with us, but how to help and give you the tools when it comes to your children. What are the parameters that you should be aware of? And Sister Manahil beautifully addresses that. And then, you know, Sheikh Muhammad, may Allah have mercy on him, had done the module on how to drive your child's Islamic education. This is something he was very passionate about and, you know, close to his heart. And so this is a module that you'll get access to, alhamdulillah, and benefit from. And we have another new one that we've added this year is understanding prenatal mental health and how to ask for help, right? A lot of people, unfortunately, again, feel taboo, feeling, you know, second guess themselves. Is something really wrong? You know, I just need to push through. And so alhamdulillah, getting some light on this issue is going to be really powerful. So this is a new module, alhamdulillah, that we've added. But it doesn't stop there, right? And so I'm going to go through some of the amazing bonuses. But really what this program is, it's self-paced because we are mindful of the moms and the time that you have. And so alhamdulillah, you get to go through this program. You get lifetime access and you can go through it at your pace, inshallah. And, you know, set a goal for yourself, but really it's about not guilting yourself. You know, I signed up for this program. Here's the live sessions. I'm not on it. Alhamdulillah, you'll get to go through it. There's MP3 files, so you can go through that as well. And so we have a special offer. Those of you that are all here with us, alhamdulillah, we have a bonus module. So tomorrow we're going to hear from Dr. Leonard Sachs, and he's going to do a bonus module for all of the students in Mu'mina, Boys Adrift and Girls on the Edge. And this is based on one of his top-selling books. Really, you know, understanding your child better when it comes to their gender, the challenges that boys are having, and obviously the many of the social challenges that girls face as well. So when you join the next 48 hours, inshallah, you get this bonus module. It's going to be live. So you'll get to have like a Q&A component as well, inshallah. And Sister Sara is going to be doing a bonus as well that you'll get to hear about. So really encourage you. The link is there, inshallah, in the chat. But we have many other additional bonuses. So let me go through that. Mashallah, we've got, and this is, you know, something you'll get access to in the program, but Sheikh Ibrahim Hindi, lessons from Luqman alayhi salam and his son. So many beautiful lessons from Surah Luqman and, you know, really appropriate from that parenting context. We have Sister Hina Mukhtar, how to raise children with deen and dunya. She's a well-thought-out speaker and community leader out in California. And mashallah, she has spoken on the topic of parenting a lot, alhamdulillah. We have a bonus by Sister Yusra, who you guys heard from on Monday, how to rediscover your identity beyond motherhood, right? Alhamdulillah, we recognize that pain that sometimes when you're just engrossed in motherhood and you don't honor or you tune into the needs that are present, what can happen? So she really speaks to that very well, alhamdulillah. We have Dr. Amin Emma, who is a psychologist out in Malaysia, mashallah, and she put together a module, an ebook as well, how to recognize your triggers and heal your inner child. And, you know, I think in the topic of anger, there's definitely inner child work that's needed. And so that's a beautiful module. And then we have a bonus ebook by Sister Asba, Habits of a Happy Muslim Mother. And you guys probably follow her. She does lots of great, funny comics, really speaking to the reality of moms. And so alhamdulillah, she's been able to take her wisdom and experience and content and put that together in this ebook. So you'll get that as part of this module. So when you go online, inshallah, you can go to that link. We're going to stay on. Sister Sarah's not done. We've got Q&A and she's got, inshallah, some closing points that are really important as well. So you know, you'll stay on. I'll answer questions as well, inshallah. But this is your opportunity, you guys. Give yourself the tools. Give yourself, alhamdulillah, the knowledge and framework within our deen to empower yourself. And that's what I invite you to, inshallah. And this is a program, like I said, that hundreds of parents have came through. This came together based on the research we did and conversations we had with women just as yourself and really tuning into what the needs were. So I invite you to join us and take advantage of the special offer that you will get, this bonus with Dr. Leonard Sachs, inshallah, when you join in the next 48 hours. And I'll be around to answer more questions. I'll hand it back to you, Sarah. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair, Razia. Appreciate that, mashallah. It's a wonderful program. So I hope, inshallah, we will take advantage of it. It was wonderful to be part of it, alhamdulillah. So I wanted to conclude with just a few practical techniques to work on anger. And most of these come from the sunnah approaches, right? Because Islam is a preventative religion and it's also very practical. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us a lot of practical techniques to be able to alleviate anger. And so one is that he encouraged us that he said, I know a word, the saying of which will cause, when he saw somebody being angry, he said, I know a word, the saying of which would cause him to relax if he does say it. And it is, if he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, I seek refuge with Allah from shaitan, then his anger will go away. This is really powerful because what it does is it naturally creates a pause. And I think it's so powerful to link an act of worship to those moments of anger so that shaitan doesn't continue to mess with us as much. Shaitan has a way of getting to us, but if we make the commitment that, okay, every time I notice myself starting to become angry, I'm going to say, "A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim," or I'm going to say, "La ilaha illallah," or I'm going to say, "Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel," or I'm going to make a dua. Shaitan's not going to be as encouraged to mess with us anymore, because we're actually then getting hasanat and we're getting good deeds in that moment, rather than him being able to work on us, right? So it's something that can be really powerful. He also encouraged us to change our posture. He said, when one of you becomes angry while standing, he should sit. If the anger leaves him, good. If not, lie down, right? And that's very powerful too, from like a physical somatic perspective. Changing your posture changes the way you interact with your environment and the way that you interact with people. So that's very, very powerful. Making wudu. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, when any one of you gets angry, perform wudu, because anger arises from fire, right? So like fire in your body, in your blood, and wudu can help to quench it. And that's actually another therapeutic physical approach to deal with overwhelming emotions, is to have some like cold water. If you've ever seen like some people I've seen on Instagram and things like that, where they put their face in a bowl of ice water, because it helps to manage really uncomfortable emotions. This is, you know, wudu is basically the same idea behind that, right? So it's very helpful. Another thing is the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us, and when you get angry, keep silent. And one of the things that I have tried to do and I found helpful is to realize that as parents, whenever we see our kid doing something that we don't like, or something that, you know, seems like something that they shouldn't be doing, we have the natural instinct to immediately address it and correct it. It's important to know when the issue at hand is nothing major, let it slide. Remain silent, right? Avoid that power struggle, avoid the argument, right? Avoid the criticism. And just let it slide. If it's not a big deal, right? Then just, you know, kind of let it go. It's not everything needs to be engaged in. And so that's something that's helpful, to be able to remain silent. And then also mindfulness. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimullah, he talked to us about how our attention has to be directed to your life in the present. He said the time in between two times. If you waste it, then you've wasted an opportunity to be of the fortunate and saved ones. And if you look after it, then you will be successful and achieve rest, delight, and everlasting bliss. This is mindfulness, if you've heard this term, focusing in on the present moment. And there are a lot of different ways that you can do that psychologically. It can be something as simple as looking around for 5 things that you can see, paying attention to the things that you can hear around you. You know, taking a moment and looking out your window and seeing the leaves swaying in the breeze, and just taking 10 seconds to pay attention to that. Those are all acts of mindfulness, and they can create a mental shift when you're feeling overwhelmed. There's also a technique, which I love because it's so grounded in Islam, where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says that your Lord is kind and most generous, and he is too kind to let his slave, if he raises his hands to him, bring them back empty. There's actually a therapeutic technique called willing hands. This technique is basically, you just, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling angry, you open your hands up like this, and you will immediately notice that some of the anger starts to dissipate and become more manageable. Because what do we tend to do when we get angry? Physically, we clench, we tense ourselves. And so when we open our hands up like this, we release and we submit, and this sends our brain a signal that we're safe. Nobody in a moment of lack of safety, right? If you're in an unsafe situation, nobody is, you know, like, this is not your automatic body reaction. Your automatic body reaction is to fight or to freeze or to run, right? Which all like result in tensing your body up. So when you open yourself up like this, and try it as I'm talking about it, and notice how your body feels. You know, you can put your hands on your lap, or you can have it in the dot position like this, right? And notice how your body feels a little bit more relaxed as you do that. And so even if you can just do this, and then if you can add a dua in there, right, then it's a very powerful technique and will really help, right? And so I just wanted to end with some of those techniques, inshallah. And just to reiterate that, you know, I think that all of you out there, mashallah, have taken the time out of your busy days to come and to learn and to be here. And it's just a testament to how much you love and care for your children. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you tremendously for that. And to realize that, you know, being a parent is one of the most beautiful but most difficult blessings bestowed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we're all sometimes plagued by self-doubt when it comes to raising them, but especially when the things that happen cause us to react toward them in a way that we don't like, right? And so reminding ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to be, you know, chose you to be the mother of your children, and that there's no role that's more rewarding for you right now than this one, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it for you and for only you. And you're a gift to them and they are a gift to you. And so viewing your daily struggles as an opportunity to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an opportunity to reconnect with your kids, and imagine your scale of good deeds overflowing with all of that as you care for your family. And to realize that especially when it's hard is when you have just an amazing opportunity for reward. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you, to bless your children and your families, and to bless you with a strong and beautiful and comforting and safe and secure relationship with your children, and to multiply your rewards tremendously. Jazakumullah khairan.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Sara. I really appreciate that. And I feel like, mashallah, you did such a justice to the topic, because again, I feel like we can speak about the topic of anger very superficially and really from a secular standpoint. And alhamdulillah, it's so much more wholesome when we understand, you know, the very valuable tools that Allah subhanahu has given us. And we look at it, you know, again, anger is an emotion that Allah subhanahu has given. And I love how you address that, that it's not a sin to feel anger. It's really that response, alhamdulillah. So many gems. We have someone, mashallah, in our amazing Facebook group who's putting together all the notes from the session. So I can't see how she compiles yours, and I'll share that. But I wanted to take an opportunity and get some questions answered. Some of you guys did ask about the course, and you said, you know, many of you asking, is it pre-recorded? Yes, so there are pre-recorded modules, and that way it allows you to go through it at your pace. We have two live bonuses that we'll do, inshallah, but aside from that, it is pre-recorded. The bonuses are pre-recorded that are in there as well. We do have payment plans, so you'll see that at the checkout, so I encourage you to go through that as well, inshallah. So let me pick out some of the questions, and I'll try to pick ones that are more a little bit more general so everyone can benefit. A lot of people asking about recordings. Inshallah, the recording of this session will be emailed out to you, and you will have, I think usually it's like 48 hours access. That way you're going to be more inclined to watch it as well. So someone is asking someone says, my three-year-old, you know, I have moments where they don't listen until I show anger. And I want to know, is this, you know, have I created this pattern, and how do I break out of this phase?
The beautiful question, mashallah. You know, and so like I was saying, what tends to be effective is what your brain registers as something that's going to go on repeat, right? And so, you know, that first moment where, you know, your child's not listening and you responded in anger, and then they started to listen, it naturally started to create a very effective pattern, right? But then not so effective, because then we feel badly and we know this is not the way that we want to be navigating these situations with our kids. So it'll take a little while for the pattern to break and to establish something else that can be beneficial, right? So one of the things that I remember when my kids were around that age, is I had a conversation with them and I told them, look, I really don't like yelling. It doesn't feel good for me. It doesn't feel good for you. I feel badly about it. I know it makes you feel bad too. So let's try something new. And so what I would tell them, okay, look, we're gonna try it in a different way. So I'm gonna try and say it, you know, calmly three different times. Then one thing that is really effective too is you go up to your child and you get down on your knee to their level and hold on to them, make eye contact, and say, you know, I really need you to go and put your shoes on right now, right? Because a lot of times children are mindfulness masters. They live in the present moment to an extreme extent. And so a lot of times when they're doing something, they they don't know how to stop themselves because they're so focused. And so we have to break their attention for that moment. And yelling does that, but other things do that too, right? Where you touch them on the shoulder, or you start to sing in a sing-song voice what you want them to do, or you go up to them and you hold them by, you know, and you make eye contact. All of these things can. So the question to ask is, how, you know, not how do I get my child to listen to me? How do I get my child to hear me? And okay, how do I now get their attention in a healthier way? And so those are all maybe a few suggestions that can help with that, inshallah.
That's really powerful, mashallah. And one of the other questions that was, I feel like, is kind of coming up from that is, someone was asking, you know, I usually respond to anger right away. And I feel like you talked about this as well. I'm very reactive, but when's the best time to address something with your child? So they've done something, you're upset. When's the best, you know, time to deal with it?
So let me first say, if you do end up responding in anger, that happens, and then just make it a point to rewind a little bit and go back to them and say, look, I am really sorry that I responded that way. It was not okay for me to yell at you. I am upset at what you did, right? I'm upset at like this situation, you know, when you said this and this, or when this and this happened, that did make me upset, but it's still not okay to yell at you. And I'm working on it. Let them know you're working on it. Like, you're trying, right? and then if you are able to like control the angry response, and then you're thinking, okay, when do I address this with my child? Whenever you're calm, and whenever your child is calm, that's the key. Is you want to both be in the best mental and emotional state, because if you are overwhelmed, right, and you're feeling angry, it's not going to come out in the way that's going to be effective. And if your child is has a heightened emotion at that point, then they are also not going to hear what you're saying. They're not going to be able to register it, because the part of the brain that is responsible for being able to make good judgment calls, understand this kind of thing and things like that, that part of the brain is shut down when they're in a heightened emotional state. So just when both of you are calm.
That's such valuable advice, SubhanAllah. And so I'm going to stop the Q&A there, because I know today we went over, and I really appreciate you guys being patient with us. But alhamdulillah, the content was so important that I wanted to let us, you know, take as much as we could, alhamdulillah, and soak that up from Sister Sara. What I will encourage you guys, though, is to definitely process the session by, you know, going and doing your live, doing a reflection post. Those of you that are in the Facebook group, really engage with the content, right? Because that's going to be helpful. And just sit with yourself and ask, you know, what is something that I want to start applying that I can take away, just being more mindful of where anger is showing up for you. I also did not forget the prizes. So alhamdulillah, we're giving away 6 prizes in total. We're going to do 3 tomorrow, 3 today. And it is for the Mu'mina program. So it is a program valued at, it's valued much higher. We're giving it for $247. And many of you asked, yes, there are payment plans. When you go to the checkout, you'll see that there, inshallah. So I want to announce the 3 winners today who will get it, and our team will get in contact with you. So we want to give it to, inshallah, Sister Suraya A. Mahmood. Congratulations. So you're going to be getting the Mu'mina program, inshallah. Sister Zainab Zaini, you have been amazing, mashallah. You've been showing up in the Facebook group and benefiting so many people with the value of sharing your notes. And also Sister Wardha A. Abdurrahman. So congratulations. You 3 get the parenting program. Our team will get in touch with you and join, inshallah, tomorrow. We're going to be having a session with Dr. Leonard Sachs. Those of you who are here on Zoom, you can join us again tomorrow on Zoom as well. And inshallah, you'll get that access. So I really encourage you, go to the link, you guys. You really see what the program is about. This is the opportunity to give yourself the tools and, you know, alhamdulillah, the knowledge. And it's really comforting because, like I said, Allah subhanahu is at the center of it. And so alhamdulillah, you feel much more empowered in the work you're doing. You're not just trying to be a better mom for the sake of being a better mom. Alhamdulillah, you have a greater objective. The akhirah is the goal. And so this will, inshallah, empower you with that. Jazakallah khair, Sara, for being here and, you know, sharing with us as always. We really appreciate it. Inshallah, we'll get to see more of you soon.
Oh, Jazakallah khair for having me and for everybody for your wonderful presence and participation.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.